Sure, happy to do so. Hello, everyone. My name is Justin Harris. I'm a self-proclaimed recovering healthcare trial lawyer from D.C., now living in Richmond, Virginia, in turn. Serial entrepreneur. I've had several businesses over the course of my career. After I left the practice in 2009-10 timeframe, and started with a small coffee business, which without even trying, sort of became a safe haven for LGBTQ youth. And then with my business partner, Jesse Levancher, started a restaurant in Richmond called 2113 Bistro. And that became a community hub for the LGBTQ plus community, as well as other artistic, culinary, and business groups. That we sold that in 2014, but during that time, started a local chapter of the National LGBT Chamber of Commerce in Richmond called the Richmond Business Alliance, and led that for about 2 years, and stepped down from that, and when we sold our restaurant in 2014, started doing some work in the artistic space with the Virginia Opera and helping engage new demographics, and that really brought me back to the basics of what it is it means to really engage with people on the most fundamental level, and that's storytelling. So Jesse and I created Q Media in January of 2015. Our mission was very simple. It was promote equality through storytelling. We had no political agenda bias or any kind of messaging we want to get across. We want to provide a voice for people who had prior to no real voice outside of their own communities or perhaps even within them. And that evolved very rapidly. And that was a blessing for us because we got to create magazines, hold events, and hold the state's first statewide same-sex wedding show, even before marriage equality was law, kind of trailblazer there, which is fun. And work with local and state officials to do everything from place a LGBTQ police officer liaison on the Richmond Police Department, which was a big step for our community, and even work with the Virginia Tourism Corporation as an appointed official by the governor to create a multi-year, multifaceted LGBTQ marketing campaign using the Virginia's for Lovers classic slogan that's been around for 50-some-odd years. And added a rainbow heart to it and some more inclusive messaging at the grassroots and corporate levels. Worked with the Virginia Department of Health to create an anti-smoking campaign for the LGBTQ folks in the Commonwealth of Virginia. And that led me bouncing around the country doing marketing and sort of marketing cultural competency training for corporations and business associations on how they could better and more authentically understand and effectively engage the trillion-dollar LGBT consumer market. So over the years, I became somewhat of a subject matter expert on that, and even gave some talks at some national, international conferences, including that World Pride 2019 at the Lincoln Center in New York City, which was incredible. But the question over that time period from our businesses that we worked with, either folks that we were marketing to, the businesses that were doing advertising with us or participating in our events, was where is the data on what this consumer basis does, the point of how do LGBTQ consumers shop, where's the data? That data has never before been collected in any meaningful way outside of opinion surveys. So we took our media company, Q Media, and made a technology data analytics pivot in the summer of 2019, and became Equality Rewards. That company went through a national technology accelerator called Lighthouse Labs in Richmond, Virginia. And the purpose of that was to help businesses identify how to engage authentically with the LGBTQ market, and help that market understand and identify what businesses were actively engaged with the community outside of Pride in June, so that they were inclusive throughout the year and not just rainbow washing their brand. So it was a win-win for both, using data as a way to make better, informed decisions, both for the businesses for marketing and for the consumers for voting with their wallet. And we came out with the accelerator at the end of 2019. That took us into early 2020. And of course, COVID hit. So we had a product ready to start launching testing, and then the world stopped. So we stopped with it and took a pause. And during that pause, I looked back at my life and realized that I've been asked the single greatest question over and over. And it was a simple question. It's probably because when you graduate from law school, you're called a counselor of law, but you're really a counselor of life. And that question was, where can I find a doctor where I can be myself, where I can feel that I'm being heard, I'm not being judged, there's no discrimination. I don't fear of any kind of retribution or reprisal for being myself. And at the same time, doctors were asking me, where can I find LGBTQ plus patients? I want to be able to serve them and let them know that I can be there for them as a medical provider. So getting asked this question over the years, it kept me during the peak of the pandemic, that I was, through the work I've done and the relationships I've built, in a very strong position to be able to actually not just answer that question, but address it head on, and formed a team to eradicate the systemic discrimination in the healthcare industry that generations of our community have experienced. And it's a huge, audacious goal, as Andy Lyons has commented. And it is, and it's not going to happen overnight. But the fact that we're addressing it in a very methodical, concerted effort with a team of folks who are way more intelligent than I from all over the world really makes me understand that we're doing the right thing, because these people, when the rally cry went out, they joined, and we're making our moves to put out a product this fall, and we're very excited about that. And we will let our customer tell us what they want, and we're going to build a product that they need, the product that we think we might need, and let our customers get in the driver's seat and take it from there. So we're very excited about that, and that's where we are today. And it's sort of this window between mid-August to mid-October when we're looking to launch, and it's a very exciting time, very stressful as well.
This is fantastic. Justin, I'm on your website. I really am, I'm really impressed, because I'm actually, my background is biotech and healthcare and diagnostic testing. And you're the first, I'm going to be honest with you, you're like the first website that I've seen that is so organized and uniform. Hi, Janine.
Thank you. The website's always a work in progress, and it's we're listening to some of our initial customers right now to see how they'd like to see us formatted in the way that we can make sure that our brand voice is authentic at all times.
Brent, did you want to say something? It looks like you have your hands up.
One of the questions I had for you, Justin. One of the ones you gave me, what made you want to start Equality MD?
That's a great question, Brent. I had left the practice of law as a healthcare trial attorney. What I was doing was in D.C. defending insurance companies, primarily against workers' comp claims. So I was working on behalf of the insurance companies, trying to make sure that nobody got a penny for anything. And I was very good at it. And whatever case I had, felt terrible about it most of the time. But when the layoffs came during the Great Recession, at that time, all the young attorneys were let go. I was one of those. It was a very big blessing in disguise. I didn't see it at the time, but I'm very glad that it happened. So during that time, I got to see even more behind the curtain, if you will, the inequities that in our community face. Certainly I experienced that myself looking for a doctor, because when you're in a clinical setting in a doctor-patient relationship, it's very different than going out to the farmer's market or to a pride festival or to a neighbor's house for dinner. It's you have to bare your soul. And if you aren't able to have the candid conversations with your medical provider about very intimate aspects of your life, you're not going to get the care that you need. And that requires putting all your healthcare cards on the table, from sexual health to mental health and everything in between. And that's a very hard thing to do for a lot of people. And it's particularly hard for a demographic that has been systemically discriminated, I guess, for decades, and that includes having homosexuality listed as a mental health disorder for many years. The folks who died during the AIDS epidemic in the 80s, once the Reagan administration was just deplorable. More folks died here on our American soil than died in Vietnam during that crisis. And even up until the 90s, the don't ask, don't tell, and finally marriage equality, people think, oh, marriage equality, we won, period. It's the beginning of a new chapter and the beginning of another conversation about healthcare inequities. And in 2016, the National Institutes of Health declared the LGBTQ plus community what is they define as a health disparity population. What that means is that they identified that this community has, quote, unique healthcare concerns and a historical lack of access to care. End quote. And so that to me basically summarized and put in writing from the organization in the country for health, saying there's a problem here. I know folks, a lesbian couple who live in rural Illinois and they drive 6 hours to Chicago to see a doctor. I know people who've been turned away from the ER in Los Angeles County. And the list goes on and on. And that's just not acceptable. So with back to your question, why now? Well, COVID presented an opportunity for people to stay together apart, if you will, through video conferencing, through Zoom, through other technologies that we've had. What's interesting is the military, particularly the Navy, has had this technology since the 80s. They've been able to communicate with submarines under the Arctic ice through video chats, say, hey, look at this thing on my arm. Is this a tumor, cancerous? They've been able to do that since then. It's the 80s. So why is the private sector not been able to? It's because of the powerful interests at play with insurance companies, healthcare conglomerates, the hospital organizations, pharmaceutical companies, etc. So it's a very challenging system to break. Do I think we're going to completely upset the apple cart? I don't know. But if we can at least rock it a bit and get people to start thinking about healthcare differently, now is the time to do it. People are now accustomed to utilizing technology like Zoom on a more regular basis, including for healthcare purposes. Telemedicine is not something that is a foreign language to most, as it was for so long. It just seemed like the right opportunity. And so that's why I figured that this was the time to do it.
But it's also that trust piece around. Do you trust your doctor?
Well, And that's another great point. There, say you work for a large corporation, let's call it Corporation X, and you have a in-network provider. And you have to go see a certain number of in-network providers based on maybe where you live geographically or whatever. But you don't know if that in-network provider is going to understand or accept you for who you are, let alone create the safe space in which you can be yourself and feel comfortable being yourself, to have those very candid conversations in that very clinical environment. So what we are doing is we are, through QualityMD, creating a machine learning matching algorithm. And for lack of a better analogy, I'll just say it's kind of like the match.com for doctors. You're not dating your doctor, but you're able to find a doctor based on a set of preferences that you identify, and they do the same thing, and then you're matched. And it gets the matching algorithm gets smarter and smarter the more you use it. That's the machine learning. And based off of that, you could go down the specificity ladder, or up it rather, to the say, I'm a 33-year-old African-American male in Houston. I'd like to see somebody who is also African-American in Texas who identifies as gay or maybe bisexual. You can get down to that level of detail, not just your zip code or the specialty that you're seeking. So it's really inclusive, personalized healthcare, as our mission is, elevating the LGBTQ plus community through inclusive, personalized healthcare. But then how do you know that doctor on the other end of the phone, tablet, web portal is inclusive? That's the other question. So the other 50% of what we're doing is ensuring that every single provider that is on our network and that we put out there to the community has gone through extensive LGBTQ plus cultural competency training from the medical organization in the country that is the cream of the crop when it comes to this type of work, and it's called Outcare Health. They are our first and most important partner. They make sure that every provider has gone through initial training and goes through continuous training, because as our community's language evolves, as social norms evolve, as laws evolve or devolve, in some cases, the providers in the states in which we serve, which happen to be all 50, have to be aware of the changes in the nomenclature, of the changes in the social laws, norms, and attitudes in the states in which they live, as well as in the community as a whole. So they're able to best provide that safe space for the patients coming in to see them. So it's not just a box you check and say, oh yes, I'm LGBTQ, and I cringe when I say this, friendly. But I'm dog friendly. I'm steak and pizza friendly. But these are human beings here, and they're coming to you with a very specific set of problems that they're entrusting you with. And so it's very much, they are culturally competent to speak to you as a human being. As I've said, we're really trying to take this doctor-patient relationship, which has so historically been so clinical, so sterile, and we're putting the humanity back into healthcare. And we're doing that through this cultural competency, through this matching. And are we going to get it right out the gate? Nope. But we're going to hear from our providers, and we're going to hear from our customers and learn and grow with them so that they can themselves become protagonists in their own healthcare narrative and use data to make more informed decisions and take ownership of their lives so that they can make healthy decisions and live happier lives.
But I think telemedicine is a big thing nowadays. If you don't have a car or a means of travel to get to a care provider.
Well, that's right. And that's why telemedicine companies, I think 20 new ones crop up every day. It's kind of ridiculous. And most of them have come up into the space is a way to, it's kind of like the gold rush back in 1849, looking to make a dollar. And a lot of them have made a lot of money, and they're started off as basically virtual pill mills, I call them. You want hair loss medication or erectile dysfunction medication or something to other, what they call lifestyle medications. There are about 54 of them. And it's not anything serious. It's just a sort of very, very surface level stuff. It's not the type of thing that you would go for a serious prescription for or to deal with any kind of serious issue that might be affecting you. So rather than be a pill mill, we wanted to address the concern. I'll say one concern, although it encompasses the entire scope of humanity, that this community has identified in survey after survey after survey as their primary healthcare concern. 72% of the LGBTQ plus community says that their primary health concern is mental health. And so we are making mental health our primary focus area when we launch. And yes, we'll be able to grow from there and offer different types of medication, but we want to listen to our community and provide them the services that they want, because mental health touches every other aspect of healthcare. And if we don't address that first, and others are tacking it on as an afterthought, that's not an afterthought. It is our primary concern. But yes, Brent, to your point, yes, people can't often access their healthcare providers, whether it be lack of access to transportation or their providers that they feel comfortable with live 6 hours away or across the entire state, or they don't feel comfortable with these new variants of COVID coming out, going into a medical facility and would rather stay home. Or, for example, they're young adults in college and they're not out to their families or to their friends or to anybody, but in the comfort of their dorm or others in the comfort of their living room, or if they have to go to the comfort of their car just to sit there in silence and privacy, to be able to have that ability to communicate with somebody is absolutely critical.
But it sounds the same to like anything else where they don't think about it till it's already created.
That's exactly right. And a lot of people have in the community that we serve have not been engaged with their own healthcare. And I don't mean the healthcare system, I mean their own healthcare. And because
you have all these accessibility issues for people who are disabled, if they cannot use a healthcare system or something that's user-friendly.
Exactly. So for a large number of people, just even the thought of going to a medical provider, whether it's not being able to physically get there, or even the fear of what might happen. For all of these reasons, everyone is so individually different and unique, and that is our strength as a community, is the diversity of it. And being able to capitalize on that and utilize that as sort of our North Star, so that we can make sure that we provide the services that our community needs and expects and deserves as human beings.
So how do you define success for your company and for your business life? Or personal life?
That's a big question there. I can tell you how some of our competitors define success, and it has a lot of zeros at the end of it. But I look at this as a very different level of success. I think success is, for our company, being able to change how the LGBTQ plus community and its allies perceive healthcare, how they look at it through a different lens and see themselves as not a bystander, but an active, willing participant. So that if healthcare is a story, they're a protagonist in that story rather than just somebody reading it. And if we can change people's perceptions by creating ideas of diversity, equity, inclusion, those sacred principles, not just boxes to check, as integral to the philosophical and fundamental ethos of everything that we do, then we can change hearts and minds and make and really empower people to take charge and use data that we provide back to them about their records, make them accessible. For example, if you have to go to three different doctors, how many times have you had to sit in the patient's waiting room and fill out the same form again and again and again? So we're making it so that you can have a portal patient medical record that's HIPAA and GDPR compliant, so you can take that with you. All of the barriers that people have experienced in terms of accessing care, we're trying to eradicate, and so that people can feel empowered and really be not just a participant, but the protagonist in their own journey, and take the steps that they want to and feel that they are able to because they have the support system behind them and will always be there for them.
That makes total sense. My next question for you, wonder where are you now in your company's development?
Well, as with any good startup, we have our hiccups. I'll be honest about that. But that's part of the entrepreneurial journey. I was speaking with Andy a couple weeks ago, and she described it as a roller coaster. And I said sometimes you jump towards rock bottom, and rather than hit it, there's if you do it right, there's a spring down there. You can actually hit it and bounce back up. But you have to have fortitude to be willing to be a part of that ride, and it's a ride, I'll tell you.
And what's the mission of what's Equality MT's mission?
Our mission is to elevate the LGBTQ+ community through inclusive, personalized healthcare. And the point on the roller coaster that we are on, it really depends on the day, if I'm being honest. No entrepreneur, I think, can say that we are definitively at this point, because you walk into the room and you're expecting to do one thing and find out you have to do 10 other things before you can get to that one thing. That's just the nature of the beast. So to your point earlier, where are we? We're in a good place. We have our product that is, we're testing with some initial users and testing with our, when I say users, I mean both onboarding patients and onboarding doctors, because it's a two-pronged approach, and making sure that there aren't as many. The bugs are all worked out, that the matching algorithm works. And these are doctors who have already gone through the LGBTQ culture competency training. So they're primed and ready, and these are going to be our biggest ambassadors for other medical professionals across the country in all 50 states. And the users, in turn, are also going to be our biggest ambassadors to other people in different communities across the country. So we're in a really exciting testing phase, and I can't wait to get back some of the results from our customers and our doctors so that we can make this a more user-friendly platform and showcase to the community and the world at large, because this is not limited to LGBTQ+ folks, that this is something viable. A quick story on that, when I say the world at large, I live in Richmond. I have a small town bank we use, and there's some sweet Southern women in there, traditional Southern women. Just picture them baking you a pie and coming to your house and saying, bless your heart. I love them to death, and they love what we're doing with Equality MD, because they see us, as they say, raising the bar for what they can expect to have healthcare be delivered. And they said that we have our in-network provider with the bank, but we don't feel comfortable necessarily speaking to those doctors about some of the issues that we're going through at our age. And we know that because of the higher standards you're setting through the personalized nature of the Quality MD system, that we would like to sign up for Equality MD, but we're not lesbians or bisexual. Is it okay if we join? I said, well, we wouldn't be inclusive personalized healthcare if we didn't let anybody join who wanted to. If you have a pulse and if you're a human being and you don't discriminate against others, then we're interested in helping you out. So this, yes, our focus initially is on the LGBTQ plus community, but what's really fun about this demographic is it encompasses every other demographic on Earth. And that way we can go out and help other marginalized communities and underserved and make sure that they have an opportunity to experience inclusive, personalized healthcare how they want to be, how they want that experience to be.
What brought me to bring you today was Andy's show, the Startup Life Light Show, and Andy is here.
Yeah, Andy's a wonderful interviewer. Not sure I got a chance to tell her that, but I very much appreciate that interview. Thank you, Andy. And the questions you asked were probing in nature and just a lot of fun. So if anyone gets a chance, please go check out her show.
Brent, did you want to open up for questions? Or, but I kind of like wanted to ask Justin because I was looking at.
Do you have any questions for Justin, Tanya?
Yeah, I do. I see that your number one item that you sell is vitamin D test. Is that because of what's happening today with COVID and everything? People are ordering it?
That's exactly right. We the pivot happened during COVID because our community was disproportionately affected by COVID for a variety of reasons. And really, vitamin D is a huge element of being able to protect yourself and your body from some of the most awful things that COVID can do. Even when I go see a chiropractor once a week, and it's one of the things that is a question when I go into the office, in addition to have you been practicing social distancing, have you experienced any COVID-like symptoms, is have you been taking vitamin D? And so I asked them about this, and suddenly we realized that medically speaking, vitamin D is a very powerful vitamin that people often forget about, and how it can help the human immune system. Now, I'm a doctor of law, not a doctor of medicine, but when I hear other doctors speak to the power of vitamin D, it seems to be a natural product that we can make available, at least initially, even before we launch. Another thing that we're going to have before we launch is we have a partnership with a subscription discount card company. I can't say which one at this point, but we're going to be issuing Equality MD prescription discount cards, just our brand on it. They like what we're doing so much that they said, we're not even going to put our brand on it because you are speaking to us in a whole new level. In fact, we had a call with them last Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock. So they said, we have all these other elements from nutrition, grocery shopping, and the data we're collecting from the folks that utilize your card. And again, it's nothing personal data or anything like that. It's just more what zip code you're in and how you identify. And even the question came up as to what gender are you? And so we helped them navigate that that question mark that they had. And they said, even that portion, say you identify as non-binary, for example, we don't have it in our system so that piece of data can communicate with other parts of our platform in any meaningful way, because the other parts of our platform, there's no, it's like speaking apples and oranges. So they are now taking this tens of thousands of person, large corporation, a big, big pause and going up to the C-suite level, the board of directors, and saying, how do we become the inclusive organization that Equality MD is now telling us we need to be? And that, to me, is a huge win. What are they doing? They're not just checking the box. They're doing hard work. And they, it's going to take years. But they are so happy to be doing it. Got them to even have that conversation. Another company we're working with does a variety of different testing kits, and they have a, I can't say which one it is, but they have, for lack of a better phrase, a male testing kit and a female testing kit. And I asked, what about those who don't identify as male or female? Why not have a And so they're now creating that for us with our branding on it, no co-branding, and they're doing making that available to everybody else. So we're already starting through our partnerships to change the way people talk about healthcare. And when you start changing the way you talk about it, you start to change perceptions. When you start to change perceptions, you start to change reality. And that goes back to the question of how do you define success? So yes, vitamin D took us back to how you define success, but that's how I love how these conversations evolve.
I also, I'm excited about discovering you because I work with doctors, a lot of doctors actually dealing with hormones and different things, but then I have become friends with different people looking for doctors who understand transition and, you know, especially transgender when it comes to health. And I was looking at your website. I'm glad to know that you offer those services if somebody is looking to transition or at least have some type of conversation with an MD that understands that.
Absolutely. It's part of, certainly the LGBTQ plus community includes those who are have undergone gender-affirming therapy. Medically, it's hormone replacement therapy, but better phrased as gender-affirming therapy, or are going through the process, or even just thinking about it. But being able to have those conversations is absolutely critical, so we're making sure that that is a part of the community that we address in a way that's for medical professionals who are culturally competent and have experience in that space. Because it is a very unique space, and it's not untypical for medical professionals who are even operate specifically within that space to maybe not even understand some of the language and nuances of the community itself. So even though doctors might be truly inclusive, they may accidentally say something that triggers a nerve. Or sparks a feeling of negativity. So that's why we make sure that everybody goes through these cultural competency training so that we limit the accidental aggressions that people feel and experience in such a powerful way. And is this still going to happen? Of course it is. People are people, but over time, we believe we can eliminate that to a very large extent, and hopefully with all of our providers, as we get better and learn from others and grow with them, make sure that that space is as safe as humanly possible.
That's wonderful. I'm so glad that Brent invited you up. I'm glad to be here. I have some people I'm going to refer you to. I'm going to refer that your website to, and also actually, there was a blogger. There is a transgender forum. They had reached out to me because I work with a lot of hormone doctor, but I didn't have doctors. My doctors specifically deal with men and women's health, but not transgender. So I'm gonna email them and give them. If you don't mind, can I give them your name and information?
Absolutely, please do. We're always looking for partners and friends to help us along the journey, because a lot of what I do was formed by my experience between undergraduate and law school, and that was, I was the history teacher at a rural naval boarding school, middle of nowhere, England, and I lived in a boarding house with 71 boys, age 11 through 17, surprised I didn't kill them all, but what I learned was that being the best teacher I could be meant being the best student I could be. And so it was at that moment that I realized I was a student of life and I will always be learning. And I impart that on my team. On my LinkedIn page, I say that curiosity is my North Star. And I really mean that. And that means being a student and learning from others. So the more people that my team and I can connect with, their specialties, their areas of interest, the areas of expertise, the better a company we could become to serve the community and new communities that we will be serving down the road.
So I invited Dr. J. She requested, so I went ahead and wanted to give her the microphone. Hi, Dr. J. How are you?
Hi, Tanya. Hi, Grant. Hi, Justin. What a delightful conversation. Justin, I feel like a kindred spirit, not just in topic, but I did most of my work in my beginning sexuality at Chapel Hill. And so we're just down the road from each other. And I love your cultural competency training, because in doing the sex therapy work that I've done over 45 years, that's been through ASECT, which is the American Association for Educators, Counselors, and Therapists, and they have a program that's similar to what you're talking about for us to be able to be clear, deal with bias and judgment and that sort of thing. But I wanted to ask you a very specific question. Are you working with other providers in terms of identifying them specifically? Because there's a lot of femtech providers that I think you would find very interesting in connection. For example, Rosie Wellness, Dr. Lindsay Harper, a physician who, you know, said, "We're not getting our patients what they need, so I have to make it myself." She created an app that has videos on every topic about sexuality, and she created a telemedicine component to that, too. So I think you two would have some very interesting conversations.
Oh, I would love any kind of introduction that you may be able to facilitate, because that opportunity sounds like a wonderful synchronicity of spirit and of topic that we'd be able to learn from each other and help each other in our respective areas. But to your question, are we looking for different providers? Yes, our initial set of doctors are going to be the 3,500 plus that are already gone through the cultural competency training, and they're listed on OutCare Health's, what they call their outlist. And it was actually they who said, we need to be able to reach our patients through telemedicine. And so they go through continuing training. But beyond that OutCare list, we are absolutely looking for more providers with more specialties across the entire medical spectrum. And although we're starting with mental health, we're certainly not going to stop there. So any introduction that anyone here feels would be worthwhile to help us create a more inclusive, personalized healthcare experience for the LGBTQ plus community or the community at large, I would very much welcome that. We're always looking to learn and be better.
Well, excellent. I followed you, and I will send you a DM with some specific names.
Very good. And I'll admit I'm not the best Twitter user, but I will certainly be responsive on that platform. The better platform, if I may, is there's a link in my Twitter profile to my LinkedIn page.
I'm not LinkedIn.
Oh, well, in that case, maybe you have the apple pie and I have blueberry pie, but you know what? We'll make it all work. And,
excellent.
And from there, there's this magical thing called email I hear, you know.
We will definitely make it happen. I, I definitely know that you are a kindred spirit. I feel like in a lot of ways, I've been doing the work that you're talking about for 45 years, and it's just really nice to hear new, fresh energy going into this, going, yes, we can do this.
Yeah, it's an uphill battle, and that entrepreneurial spirit that I have born with, I enjoy it. I love it, and I surround myself with people, as I've said, smarter than I am, and I can't wait to learn how to be better. So, yes, would love to connect and look forward to it.
Excellent. Well, I'll take care of that.
Thank you.
Hi, Michael. Michael, welcome.
Hi, Tanya and Brett, Justin and Dr. J, and everybody listening. Sorry for any background noise. I just got into a coffee shop again. The only thing I would say is that, I don't know, maybe one of the titles of the program could be, yes, I am extremely different, but I'm just as human as you. So that this way we have people who may not understand the LGBTQ community, they're already saying, okay, our lifestyle may be different than you, but we're still just as human and we have just the same kind of feelings and desires. Our sexual preferences may be different. Our ideas may be different. But so are your ideas different, and so are your habits different, but we have humanity as a common element. So I'm just thinking that maybe if somebody put something like that out, it would draw more people who are straight, like I'm straight, and I have a lot of friends that are part of the LGBTQ community, and I don't judge them at all. I think that they're really smart and nice people, but there are people, for whatever reason, they just don't understand it. And I'm hoping that if it's worded something like that, just maybe that will help. That's all I have to say for you.
That's an excellent point. And that gets to the point of having inclusive, personalized healthcare means everybody. And at the end of the day, we're all human beings. And it's the humanity that connects us. It's the differences that don't divide us, but make us stronger. And we certainly do not want to exclude anybody. And to make sure that they're going to be, as we grow and get some more marketing out there, because we're kind of in stealth mode right now as we do some testing, making sure that things work just from a technological standpoint. But when the messaging goes out, you are absolutely right. We're going to have different ways in which we get the message out there so that different communities feel more perhaps prone to step into that conversation because it might speak to them in a more meaningful way. And language is so important. And as we go through this, we don't want to just say, oh, it's only for LGBTQ plus people, because there are some that might feel that that is our only focus. And that is indeed the focus for now. But we don't want to exclude anybody. So absolutely, we're going to go out there and make sure that we have a message that is truly inclusive and that we may have differences in who we love or how we identify, but that doesn't mean that we're any different than you when it comes to certain healthcare concerns. So let's have an open, honest, inclusive conversation.
Our next speaker is our good friend Alberto. He requested to speak, so I went ahead and gave him the microphone. Hey, Alberto.
Hey, hello, everybody. Hello, Michael. You did change your name, your profile name. No, I just wanted to say, oh, Paige is here. I just wanted to say, basically, Michael said most of it, that we are all human beings. We all have emotions, feelings, hopes, wishes. And this discussion shouldn't be an issue. I mean, we are in 2021. We should be open enough to know that we are all equal and we should all be treated in the same way with respect. The other issues are secondary. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Does anyone want to ask any questions or grab the mic? Brent, did you want to add something?
I'd love to be able to invite you back for another discussion when your platform launches.
Be more than happy to. And if anyone wants to be a guinea pig, just let me know.
We're always looking for testers to what's the quote from Bill Gates, that your most valuable customer is the one that tells you what's going wrong. And so that we want to make sure that we can learn and grow with our customers and make sure that we provide the experience that they want to have. So we'd be delighted. Thank you.
That's wonderful. And I noticed you're hiring too.
We are. The pace of a hiring depends on the pace of the investor checks at the bank, as every entrepreneur knows. But luckily, we have a lot of impact-driven investors who are empowered by our mission, and they see that not only are we doing a good thing, but that you can actually make more money as a company by being mission-driven, whether that's environmentally conscious, animal conscious, inclusive in terms of LGBTQ or other minority demographics. You can do a lot of good for yourself by doing well for the communities you serve.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I'm looking forward. We'll be watching you closely, and we look forward for your next visit. Did you want to share any other notes that you want to tell us about? Any new things? What's the next thing that's going to happen?
Well, I think a conversation with our chief medical officer, Dr. Dustin Nowaski. He's a clinical psychiatrist, and he's the founder of OutCare Health, the organization in Indiana that does the inclusive cultural competency training for the providers. I think having him with me would be able to add a layer of depth to the conversation from a more medical perspective that I frankly can't provide. The two of us, when the two of us have spoken at events online in the past, it's kind of insane and in a very good way and a lot of fun. So I would encourage you to invite him next and happy to share his information so we can make that happen.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
That would be fabulous because...
And it speaks to the closeness and importance of that partnership. Their founder is now our chief medical officer. So they are in this to win it because their community has expressed a desire to have telemedicine, and our community has expressed a desire to ensure that the doctors they see are culturally competent. So it's the perfect marriage. And when Justin and Dustin get together, watch out. It's just a lot of fun.
I love your names.
We call ourselves the Ustins.
The Ustins. Oh my gosh, I love it. I love it. Oh, that's wonderful. So we have about 5 minutes left before we have to, because we want to be mindful for...